Welcome to the Simon Lovell Show. Join me on my personal journey as I take you through the highs, lows, and lessons of entrepreneurship with the people I meet along the way so you can create a life that you love to help others. I believe anyone can create true transformation, be more connected, and improve their relationships if they are truly committed to change. From hitting rock bottom in my personal life with huge debt, addictions, and self-sabotage, to turning around and building a multi-million dollar company changing lives, now it's my mission to help you reach your true potential.
Hey guys, welcome to the Simon Lovell Show, and I hope you have been enjoying the episodes so far. This is the start of a new series, and one thing that I really wanted to do was, you know, bring you onto the show the people who have had the biggest impact for me in my journey. You know, I think, and I talked about in my first episode, the key turning points of my life, and throughout those key turning points in that journey, obviously there's been a lot of people who have influenced those changes in my life, and the mentors that have guided me and course corrected me. And I talk so much about the importance of mentors and coaches, and I think that this is really important because, you know, we're all going through struggles, and we always need people to help guide us that are maybe in a different position in their life and have a different insight. And so today I'm joined with me on the sofa. I'm actually sat in the True Transformation Ranch here in San Diego with AJ Roberts. Welcome to the show.
Hello, everybody.
So I always say to my friends, you know, AJ is responsible for me being in the States, you know, but also what a lot of people don't know about AJ is that AJ is responsible for really catapulting a lot of my growth. You can probably hear some shaking, which is Buddha, little puppy in the corner. Love to keep it real. AJ, why don't we, before we share everyone, you know, your history and your background, why don't we share those kind of initial moments of kind of when we met and what you kind of observed in me at that time?
Yeah, we met, well, I believe it was at, I can't remember the name of the event, but it was Josh Brizzoni's event in Austin, Texas. I think it was Austin, Texas. It was out at the lake. It was a really awesome event. And we actually met at the social that was going on, and you came up to me and you were telling me all about the product, a product that you had, Paleo in a Box. It was a lunchbox diet. I don't even think you had Paleo in a Box yet. It was lunchbox diet. Mm. And you were telling me about this, and it sounded like a great product. But I knew I wasn't the person who was going to be able to help you get it out there because, you know, I wanted to connect you with the people who had the right kind of email lists that would be the right fit for the promotions. But it really was like a surface level interaction. So, you know, I then introduced you to, I think, Joel or someone like that who was at the event that I thought would be a good connection for you. And that was kind of it. That was kind of our first interaction. So, you know, that's how I kind of remember. It was just like you were super passionate. And in a sense, you were looking for looking for people to connect with. And I may have even felt like, oh, okay, I'm not the right guy for this. Like, but let me almost pawn you off on the right people. Right. Because you were, I guess, kind of aggressive in the sense, but you seemed to know what you wanted, seemed to know who you needed to connect with. And so, you know, I just wanted to connect you to those people.
Mm. At the time, I didn't know anything about you and the fact that you're, you know, world record holder. I don't know if it was at that time that you'd done that or afterwards, or the amazing marketer that you were. But what I do remember about that event, and I talk about this a little bit, which is I was in a really desperate space then, you know, and I think that a lot of people, they sometimes go to an event or go somewhere because they're in a desperate need of like a break. Like, I'm looking for a break, instead of like a shift that we have in terms of going to an event to be in and add value. And I think that is a big shift that I had and noticed, and you notice that energy from people, you notice that kind of desperate side. Why don't you share with people, you know, your background and, you know, what you were doing at that time and your history up until that point, because you've had so many achievements and you've done so many amazing things. And it's important for us to preframe with everyone, like, you know, where were you in that time when we first met for you?
Yeah, I had actually just became the world record holder a few months prior to that. And
in powerlifting.
And I was working for a consulting company. And after I broke the record, I kind of had this air about me that I could do whatever the fuck I wanted. And I actually said this to the guys when I left the consulting company. We had a lot of different businesses, And I was getting a percentage of every single business. And I said to them, I said, I don't want a small piece of the pie. I want the whole freaking pie. You know, looking back, that was such a, you know, asinine comment to make. But what I meant by that was like, I didn't want to be, you know, receiving like small bits of the you know, commissions essentially on different things. Well, I wanted to be in control of my own income. I wanted to, so I had moved into my, kind of launched my own consulting business where I was helping other fitness professionals at the time launch their products and, you know, launch online with their information products. And so I was actually at that event with another guy who we were planning his launch. And so I had taken him to that event so he could meet all the people that we were going to reach out to 6 months later to, you know, get on board for our launch. And, you know, so I was there to continue the relationships I had already built and then help him connect so that he would have a successful launch. Because one of the things that a lot of people don't realize that when you talk about, and launches aren't such a popular thing anymore in the info product world, but they do definitely work. They still work if you can get the support. But what a lot of people don't realize is that, you know, sending an email asking for someone to promote you, you know, or share your stuff is never the way it works, right? You've got to build that relationship first. And I tell people, you know, if you're planning on a launch or something like that, you got to start at least 6 to 12 months before you ever say anything to them about the actual product. And so, you know, that was something that I had learned early on. And so when I was doing this with different people, if they didn't have great relationships, it was, where can we go? Where can we connect? Where can we build a foundation before we ever start talking about business? And so I was there in support of him, but again, to deepen the relationships that I'd already began to build, you know, now that I was out on my own after breaking that world record with this confidence that, you know, I was going to take on the world now.
So I've just started actually back at CrossFit Invictus here in San Diego, and AJ's actually just moved back to San Diego from Vegas. And it was CrossFit that actually created depth in our relationship before, yeah, I actually moved to the States. And I share about that then because, yeah, you know, I'd started this product after the Lunchbox diet called Paleo in a Box. And this was about me taking a product which had already, you know, done pretty well and then putting it into a different market. And then, of course, I was getting into CrossFit and I was, you know, starting to do that in the UK, actually in Bath. And then that's really where we started to become like friends. And what I really love about AJ is like how like warm you were and how like, you know, when I was going to come to the games and you suggested that, like you picked me up from the airport and it was just like, you know, you as just a genuinely nice guy that wanted to help.
Yeah. Well, you know, you had, I think I posted on Facebook that you were thinking about going to the CrossFit Games and you said, did you know anyone? And I actually think you messaged me seeing if I could connect you with Camille and you had a crush on her. So I reached out to you. I said, hey, I'm going to the games. You know, are you coming? And of course, I didn't know at the time. I didn't know your financial situation. I didn't know, you know, where you were. Like I had no knowledge of that because you were just a guy I'd met at an event. And the event, the people at the event were very high level people. It wasn't one of these big events where anyone could go. It was kind of an under the radar event. And so, you know, I knew when you had mentioned Lunchbox Diet, I kind of looked into it. I knew you had a book, and you know, so I knew you had all these things. And so in my mind, you were just a, you know, another successful guy in the industry because I didn't know the other side of you. And you know, I reached out to you and said, hey, we're going to be going. And you kind of said, well, I'm thinking about it. And I was like, just pull the fucking trigger, you know?
There we go. That's part of why I love AJ.
And you were umming and ahhing, and I was like, you know, I'll pick you up. You know, I just removed your excuses, really. Because I didn't know that it was a stretch for you and you were going to have to, you know, it was like, it wasn't, you know, you just had this extra money, you could go, like you had to find the money. And you know, it was a nerve-wracking thing for you because it was kind of like, is it worth the investment for me to go?
Right. And that's what's so important, guys, when you're listening to this, is like having someone help you go from indecision into decision through their own confidence in certainty of just do it.
Yeah.
And that created a lot of momentum.
Yeah. So we were at the games and you know, we hung out and we went to dinner, and then you were telling me about this new product. And I didn't really want to talk business. And you know, it was more strategic than anything, you know, because we weren't really there for business. So I know I suggested we had a conversation once you were back in the UK and we would connect, because I wanted, again, kind of to build that relationship. But also, you know, I always tell coaches they got to slow down that sales process. A lot of times people go into things too eager, and there's the right time, the right environment. And also, you know, on the side of the other person, sometimes people, you know, think they're ready for coaching or think they're ready to like ask for help, but in reality, like, you give them some time and they just disappear. So it was kind of one of those, you know, almost a vetting process to see, like, well, let's see how these days together go. We're going to be hanging out, and then let's connect about business when, you know, we're not here to have a good time.
So then we obviously got into a business relationship. What did you notice about me at that time of like what I was doing, what I wasn't doing, like why do you think that product did so well?
So, you know, I knew right away it was a great product, you know, and that's kind of one of the things that is, if you would, you know, individuals have special gifts. One of my special gifts, which is really just a case of experience and just trying so many things, you learn what's right. But I tend to be right more than I'm wrong, you know, and again, that's based on, I have such a depth of knowledge, a depth of experience, that it's easier to make decisions because I have so much more facts to go with it. So I knew this product was probably going to be a winner right out of the gate. And, you know, I think you were wanting to charge like $47 or $97 for it. And I immediately knew the value was more, you know, and so we three times the price on that. And you know, that was the first time that you were kind of like, what, you know, should I do this? Mm. You were like nervous about it. But you know, you trusted and we moved forward. And then really, you know, more than anything, the one thing that I think I helped most with was you had great ideas, but you never wanted to pull the trigger. You were always nervous. And I wouldn't necessarily coach this way now because I've had so much growth myself, but you know, I would say, well, you can either be a pussy or you can, you know, do it.
We'll talk about that in a minute. By the way, this time frames, this was 2012. Around 2011, yeah. 2012.
Yeah. So I would just constantly come back and challenge you basically. And that seemed to motivate you, and you would go and you would, you know, execute. And that was something that made that product so successful, was your ability, have an idea, ask for input, you know,
and just go
get permission basically. And then you would execute. And over time you began to stop needing permission to move forward. And so our conversations were able to get a lot deeper into the marketing, into, you know, what else is there? What else can we can do? You know, and unfortunately, you know, it wasn't the best environment in terms to build out a company, because there are other people involved. But, you know, you approached me and knew that you wanted to start sharing more with other people, because it was, I think it was only about 8 months, but you had such immense growth over those 8 months in terms of your own confidence and ability to execute, that it was kind of like, you were like, I want to help other people do this kind of thing.
And then of course we started to become more friends, and we started to go to events together, and I started to actually, it was you that really got me to be fond of dogs. You know, I wasn't really a fan of dogs, and of course, like, you got your dogs, and I spent time with you, and I stayed, and you know, I remember us hanging out in onesies together and all sorts of things. Where did you see, like, because I've grown so much as a person, not just on the business side, but as an individual, where did you start to notice, and also just, you know, I want you to talk about you too and your journey too, where did you start to see the personal transformation most?
So, you know, when you had decided that you wanted to coach other people, you know, I wanted you to hire the same mentor as I had, you know, Kevin Nations, and you were very hesitant to do it because you didn't have the full investment. And I think, I don't know how many months it was, but it was you had met Kevin, I'd introduced you, you'd had conversations, and it wasn't necessarily the right time for you. But finally, we were at an event. I remember I told you just to take out your credit card and pay him, because you were asking again, like, should I do this? You know, you have, you're, so that was really the first, Once you made that decision...
Well, you actually said to me, you said he's... And I don't know whether he had actually said this, but you said to me, he's starting to get frustrated and he's starting to get annoyed. If you want to hire him, you better just get your credit card out and put it in front of him, which is what I did.
Yeah, well, yeah, I can't remember the specifics around it.
I don't know whether that was you trying to get me to take
but it
action.
It probably was me getting annoyed and frustrated.
because I was going
because
back and forth
you kept
so much.
Asking me, you know, my opinion. And my opinion was, you know, just hire him. You know, you want to do what I'm doing, hire him, you know. And a lot of that too is, you know, I felt that you needed a different, because we'd had a business relationship, build a friendship. In order for you to really get to where you wanted to get to, you needed someone who would, you know, again, like I did in the beginning, cut through your bullshit and tell it to you straight. And there was no one better that I knew than Kevin at the time. Yeah. But the minute you did make that decision, I remember you saying, I don't know how I'm going to pay for this. And I said, you don't need to know how you're going to pay for him. Right. Pay for it. He's going to show you. You just have to do what he tells you to do. Mm. And I remember in the beginning, things were working, but you weren't making an incredible amount of income. But you're making enough to pay what you owed.
Because there was multiple people being paid in the company.
So you were making enough to pay him what you were owed, what he was owed. And I remember you saying to me, like, I'm not making any money. And I said to you, you are, you're just not keeping it. I said, the minute your payments stop going out, that's all yours. And so your mind began to shift because we were able to reframe a lot of your thinking, a lot of your thought processes. And then, you know, you began going deep in that self-development journey. You went to a Tony Robbins event.
We went to Date with Destiny together.
But you had already been in that for over a year before we went. You went to Byron Katie, you went to
India,
you went to that Dave D'Angelo event, right?
David Daida
event. And so you're going to all these things, and you just, you knew what to do, and you did when we first started working together. You knew what to do. It was just you didn't trust yourself. It was, you always wanted outside approval, you always wanted someone else to tell you and give you permission. And the minute you began to remove the need for that and identify where that came from, you almost set yourself free in terms of your ability to trust your intuition, to, you know, lean into your genius, your creativeness, and your, you know, the fun side of you. And that really is when I saw the brand. And I think it was around 18 months after you started really, you know, in the field of coaching is when the brand began to really take off, because you stripped away a lot of the, you know, fakeness. Mm-hmm. Because you didn't know what you wanted it to be, you didn't know what it was. You know, I remember when we first birthed, you know, the brand of Fitpreneurs, we were at an event and you didn't even like the name because you didn't really know what you wanted to do. And you know, once you really embraced it fully, that's when things began to take off. But to do that, you had to really start to trust yourself. And I think that was the big turning point, was when you knew you had issues, but you didn't need to prevent you from moving forward.
Yeah, I mean, what I felt at that time was, you know, I'm making money, but I've still got stuff I need to work on. And even to today, like, I have that mental attitude, you know, but there was still smoking going on, and there was still some drug taking going on, and there was still, you know, I remember going to, and I'll get Kevin on to talk about this, but I remember going to one of Kevin's events, you know, and him and me just getting completely smashed in Vegas, you know, and like him not letting me into one of the masterminds, you know.
Yeah, you so missed the bus.
Missed the bus. And like, Kevin's just like, doesn't tolerate that. And so is this something that you find now, like having worked with me, that with the clients that you've worked with and continue to work with, same kind of patterns?
Yeah, you know, what's interesting, and I think it's important to note, and we all do it, myself included, is that when we get stuck in the past, we really can't move forward, you see? And so, you know, therapy is needed to understand your past, but therapy frees you to move forward, and that's what you need a coach for, is to help pull you forward. Mm. And so you really, you know, there's a lot of people, and this you know, the way the world is, everything is compartmentalized. People separate. But you really, you know, in order to be able to move forward, you have to go back. And I always say that your past is your power, right? Once you can connect the dots going backwards and see that they've led you to where you are today, then it frees you up to move forward. Mm-hmm. But if we ignore the past or live in the past, we kind of get trapped in these, you know, cyclical patterns where it might take 3 or 4 years, but we do the same thing over and over again. For myself, you know, in relationships, I'm happily married now, about to have, you know, a baby girl. But, you know, we go back into my relationships. I was married, you know, got divorced, that, you know, then I was engaged and that ended. When I looked at it and looked at the time periods, it was very similar patterns that I'd go through. And even though I was with my first wife for over 8 years, during those 8 years, the patterns I had ran, even though I'd stayed with the same person, I'd ran the same relationship patterns, right? And the lack of commitment to the relationship. And so that's what I tend to find when I work with people, is that they tend to be running patterns. And these are patterns that has happened in their life in the past. And actually, one of my mentors, Garrett J. White, when I was in the Warrior program, Wake Up Warrior, and working with Garrett, one of the things that he really made me understand was that essentially what you do is these he calls them false lifts, right? So when you're moving along, and say take the body for example, when you're working out, you lose all this weight and then you gain that weight back. Well, then you get to lose it all again. So you continuously trick the mind into thinking that it's making progress, but all you're ever doing is getting back to the same point. You never actually move forward. Mm-hmm. But because we need to grow as humans, we self-sabotage to go backwards, then we're uncomfortable, and then we know what to do to get out of it. But once we get back to that set point, right, instead of breaking through the barrier and continuing to go on, you know, going from good to great, great to excellent and beyond, what we'll do is, because that's uncomfortable, because it's unknown, we'll sabotage to go back to the uncomfortable but the known. And so, you know, oftentimes when you look at when you work with people and you look at that, once you can start to spot the patterns and make them aware of that, then they get the choice to move out of that. And it really is a moment of choice. Do I want to do this or do I want to do that? You know, and it's that simple. But once you have the awareness and the understanding of it, then you're able to move forward and make a different choice. When you're running patterns and belief systems that you're unaware of, you really don't have a choice because you don't know that it's happening. And so a lot of people, and maybe you can share your experience, but a lot of people, when they go to personal development events and they go down that path, what they tend to find is that they're like, as they peel back the layers, they go, I'm more and more fucked up. I'm so fucked up. Because they're like revealing all of this stuff that like makes you think you're like a bad person, versus it's you're not, you're just learning who you've become based on what's been created in the past. And you have to kind of let go of it and shed it. You know, that's what the therapy is about, forgiveness and acceptance and it not letting it shape who you are moving forward, but understanding it's made you who you are today, and who you are moving forward is choice. That's your choice. You know, you don't have to do the same thing. And I always tell people, you know, who, again, my wife runs a nutrition company, and whenever clients are struggling, she always says, you only one meal off of being back on track. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter how many times you screwed up in the last week, you're one meal off of being back on track. You're only one choice away from being heading in the direction you want to go. And you will screw up, you know, you're human. But I don't know if that's been your experience of personal development, seeing that like sometimes you feel like you have so much to work on that it's like you've got to pause everything else.
Yeah, it just opens you up and you just I wouldn't say get like addicted to it, but you do want to, you know, go to the depths of, you know, let's take Date with Destiny as an example, right? We went to that event and like that unraveled a load of stuff for me, and it creates like a new avenue of like getting exposed to like Donny Epstein and energy work. Like when you go to this self-development, you start to realize that there's so much that you don't know, and then that can open up a channel to a different area. Like for example, ayahuasca, like we've both been through that experience, mm-hmm. but that probably wouldn't have come up had I not done some other self-development and opened that up. Yeah. And I know that you've had some massive shifts with doing plant medicines and other things, but there had to be a starting point of, you know, a lot of people say to me, well, what was the thing that, you know, changed everything? It was, accumulation. It was dedication to immersion of just like multiple things, investing in multiple things and committing to like, I'll find a way, whatever. Where were you when we went to Date with Destiny? Like, where were you? And just for everyone listening, on Netflix there's a documentary called I Am Not Your Guru with Tony Robbins, and it's in that one where me and AJ are at that event.
Yeah, no one recognizes me. Everyone recognizes you, and I'm like, right. I'm sat right next to him. But I don't know if you remember, but we were going to Date with Destiny, and you know, because you're a platinum partner, we got to like sit at the front. So like, I didn't want to look like you know, I wanted to. We just come back from Thailand, so I didn't really have any like nice clothes with me because we were in Thailand and it was really hot. So it was like
you just come back off of Mastermind.
It was like shorts and t-shirt weather. So I was like, okay, well, I want to go buy some polo shirts and some you know, khaki shorts. So we went to the mall. I bought polo shirts, khaki shorts. We went in there. He has it at 50 degrees, and I caught a cold the first day. But you know, I'm all dressed up, nice hair thing, so nobody ever recognizes me because you know I'm wearing polo shirts and khaki shorts. But they recognize you with that bald head of yours. So this guy screenshots, and I'm like, I'm right there. But it's a great documentary. But that was a fascinating event, and so much. You know, I didn't go. You had invited me, so it wasn't. It wasn't something I was going to try to fix myself or, you know, have any breakthroughs or anything like that. I was, you know, I've always enjoyed Tony Robbins and read his books and had his audio courses and think he's a powerful speaker. In fact, after being there, he's probably the most powerful speaker I've ever been in the presence of, you know, like his words transform you, you know, there's no other way to put it. But, you know, we did a lot of different exercises and things there, but you know, for me, that event really started to take a look at personally the way I celebrated. And, you know, my life has been a series of massive accomplishments as well as massive failures. But, you know, I never paused to, you know, stop and smell the roses, as my mom would say. You know, I'd always say things like, well, I'll smell them as I'm running by, you know. And so after that event, I really started to take a look at why I didn't celebrate, why I didn't allow myself to feel that. And then this search of the next best thing. And so although I had started to go down you know, a journey of personal self before that, that really started to make me look at, you know, who I am and, you know, what patterns am I running that may be preventing me to move forward. And so it was just a deeper experience that opened you up to new things to work on. And you know what I found, and I'm curious to hear your thoughts, but what I found is that, you know, oftentimes we feel like something's missing, that we're not enough, and that like we have to get somewhere in order to have what we want. And what I've learned over time is that the answers are all inside you. Everything comes from within. That void that you feel is filled by going within. But oftentimes we keep looking external for it, which keeps us kind of, you know, lost. And so it's a very simple concept, you know, journey within. And I believe that's what true spirituality is. But like you mentioned, like it takes a lot to get to the point where you can actually go within and see it for yourself.
Well, I think what's interesting is that you have to go to look with outside of you to find out that you need to look within.
Yeah.
So imagine like going to personal development, and for example, me going to India with Tony, like I went there to experience me needing to go deeper within myself.
Right.
You know, so I think that people become that help us to become the catalyst to change.
Yeah, there's an access point, right? And so it's easy to say to sit and meditate, but like most people don't know how to meditate, or most people don't know what they're looking for in meditation. Right. And so the concepts are easy to explain and people can try to practice. But if you don't know what you're trying to get to or where you're looking, oftentimes because of the our amazing ability as humans to have these defense mechanisms, we avoid the problems. Mm-hmm. You know, it wasn't until I did ayahuasca, and I had experienced other plant-based medicines, but it wasn't until I did ayahuasca that I got to the true depths of my deepest, darkest places, you know, because that drug took me there, made me face my biggest demons and able to come out the other side of that, you know. And so
Do you think you'd be married now if you hadn't done that?
Maybe not. And the reason I say maybe not was because, you know, I knew I wanted to marry Jenny pretty much like, you know, first few months we got together. But I, because of the experiences I had with my first marriage, the experience of an engagement breaking off, and just human nature, you know, the statistics on how many people get divorced and all these things, especially second marriages, I just kind of lost, like, what's the point of marriage? So the idea of marriage didn't make much sense to me. But I knew I wanted to be with her for a long time and just assumed, well, that means you end up getting married.
And she
married.
Wanted to.
Yeah. And so she had reframed my thoughts on marriage a little bit about talking about it being a commitment to each other, but also framing it like, you know, you go to school, like when you go to college for 4 years and you get your degree and you celebrate that, but you might never use that degree again just because you get a degree. I have a degree in exercise science, but I don't, you know, I most of my days are spent coaching individuals on business and life, you know, so, you know, not about physical movement. And so when she put it like that, I was like, oh, okay, like the marriage is a celebration that you're going to be committed, but doesn't necessarily mean you will. So she reframed it. But then after the ayahuasca, what I realized, and this was the beginning of a massive shift for me, was that I never could understand the love other people had for me because I didn't love myself. Mm-hmm. I couldn't allow other people to love me. So I always believed I loved other people more than they loved me. I always believed they could never love me as much as I loved them. I never felt loved from them. And even though I understood love languages and things like that, like I could never, like someone could tell me a million times that they love me, I wouldn't believe them. Mm-hmm. You know, I just wouldn't believe them. And so, you know, you attract what you think. And I had attracted these disastrous relationships and it was all me. You know, I caused the other people to show up the way they showed up through no fault of their own, you know. And so taking that extreme ownership over that and beginning to allow myself to understand love and experience love and to accept love from others came from me learning how to love myself. Mm-hmm. And I don't think I would have ever got there if it wasn't for the ayahuasca, because I had too many blockages from my past that had caused me to shut that side of me down.
Mm-hmm. Now, you've recently moved back from Vegas to San Diego, and, you know, you were a massive influence in me moving from, you know, the UK to the States. How critical is that to you in terms of, like, making sure that you're in the right environment? Because, you know, I just wasn't happy then, and I think that, you know, you'd drove me around La Jolla. I saw it, I put it on a vision board, and literally within, like, it was May 2013 that I created that vision board. It had the Ferrari on it, it had the home, it had La Jolla, and then, like, literally, I saw it every day, and I moved forward. I know that a lot of people get stuck because they're not in the right environment or they don't have the right people around them. Why have you made those decisions to like, you know, move and change, not just in location, but also like letting people go that aren't supporting you and other things? Like, I feel that that's where a lot of entrepreneurs get stuck, is not tapping into themselves and going like, this isn't right for me and I need to make the change.
I think a lot of people live in fear. For me personally, you know, from a young age, I wanted to come to the States because I played basketball and I wanted to play in the NBA. So it just was the thing to do was, this is what I'm going to do, you know. And I've always, one of the things I have that I know most people don't have naturally is just a tendency, once I set my mind on a goal, figure out everything I need to do and just do it. You know, I sacrifice everything for that. When we look back to, you know, how I ended up becoming the world record holder, there was a lot of sacrifices that went along the way. Now, in reflection, not all of those were the best choices as a human being, but they all made me become a world record holder, right? And so I had come to San Diego when I was young and came back here almost every single year for a vacation or for an event. And I said, one day when I retire, I'm going to move to San Diego. Well, you know, the universe has a funny sense of humor. And after I retired from powerlifting, my friend Andy Jenkins, he was going off to shoot a new movie with his film company, and he needed someone to run his company while he was gone. So I stepped in to run the company. And that meant he moving out here to San Diego. So, you know, I found myself out here in San Diego and was here for, I think, 3 or 4 years, and you had moved out here. And, you know, San Diego is not the cheapest place to live. And, you know, my wife and I were looking at, you know, things we could do and what we wanted to do in our life. And one of the things that I always wanted was a mansion. You know, I grew up watching MTV Cribs, and I said one day I was going to have one of these huge homes. Well, you know, when you look in San Diego at the kind of homes I was looking for, you're looking at maybe $25,000, $40,000 per month. And we ended up, you know, we got some friends in Las Vegas, and we'd been out there, and my wife's sister had moved out there, and her parents were on about moving out there. So we decided we would move to Las Vegas, and we, you know, got this 11,000 square foot mansion, and we were super excited. And so we signed an 18-month lease to make sure that we liked before we, you know, bought out there. And so we were living there. But after 12 months, we decided to come back to San Diego, because, you know, what we learned during that time is that, you know, our friends are here, and there's an energy here, and it's hard to explain. The easiest way I can put it about is that you can breathe here. You can take a deep breath, inhale and exhale. A lot of places you can't do that. The air is not clean. Vegas, the air is very dry, very hot. And so just from that standpoint, right, breath being the fundamental thing of life, right? Breath, hydration, movement, these are fundamentals of good quality life. We just weren't happy in Vegas. You know, like I said, all of our friends are here, so the house was empty most of the time. You know, when people come to Las Vegas, they want to be on the strip, they want to party, they want to experience Vegas, they don't want to come hang out at your house, you know. And so, you know, we decided to come back here to be close to family, to be close to friends. You know, and we talked a lot, but it was this, you know, life is not about the things you acquire, life are about the experiences you have and who you have those experiences with. And so, you know, when we began to look at it, even though before we even moved there, I wouldn't say we were materialistic people, it was one of those bucket list items that I had, you know, and having experienced it, it was a lot of fun. But you know, as they say, bigger house, bigger problems. And there was a lot of things that came with it. And so there's a lot of lessons learned through
but
that.
No, but no regrets.
No regrets because of the lessons that were learned,
right.
You know, and wouldn't say I wouldn't live in a house that size again, but it would be purposeful.
Right.
You know, the house would have a purpose, the rooms would have a purpose. It wouldn't just be because it looks great and you know, and it's you know, inspiring. It would be because, you know, each room had a purpose. Yeah.
You know, we have 1.5 acres here. We have a basketball court. We have this amazing space. And you know, when I moved in here, or before I moved in rather, you know, I always had this story in my head of like, I need to have a bachelor place, right? The place I had in La Jolla. And then I, you know, me and my girlfriend broke up, was on my own. And then I saw this place and I was like, well, hell, I mean, I can't just be in here with Buddha, right? And it's just like, I need to create this into a community. And now we have the Spiritual Hustle here, and we have like, we've built a community, and it's people to come here. We do co-working. It's, we've created a space for other people. And I think that, you know, like you say, it's got to be purposeful. You know, instead of being some kind of, you know, egotistical thing.
Yeah, can you imagine if you were here on your own, how lonely it would feel?
Right. And I think that a lot of people, and I've been talking to a lot of people about this recently, which is, you know, nowadays with social and being on the computer all the time, people are lonely. You know, people want that deep connection. And a guy that came to Spiritual Hustle, we have an event at the house called Spiritual Hustle. It's free every other Sunday. Just for people to connect who are spiritual and hustlers being wanting to take action. And one of the guys who works with people who are just passing through their life, he said that, you know, when someone's just about to die, they're not talking about the things that they acquired. They're not even talking about the holidays that they've been on. They're focused on the people that are by their side, you know, when they're about to pass. And it's those people that have got people by their side that are joyous and happy, and they're talking about the connections and the stories with those people. And you know, it's I have this band on my wrist, and you know, I've shared this in previous episodes, it's about connection, you know, and depth of connection. And you know, we've talked about the masks and we've talked about all these things. What do you think is the entrepreneur's curse? You know, from working with so many entrepreneurs and being an entrepreneur, what do you think is the curse of an entrepreneur?
So I think, so it's a double-edged sword. Right? What drives you is what can destroy you. And I learned this through, you know, when I became the world record holder, the next morning I woke up and it's like, what's next? And it was like the mountains had cleared and all of a sudden there's a bigger mountain in the distance. Just, you know, I spent 10 years scaling the mountain only for the clouds to clear and realize this isn't the biggest fucking mountain. I'm going to keep fucking going, you know? And so what you realize is you hear it all the time. There's no gold at the end of the rainbow, right? and there's no happiness at the end of the journey. You have to find it in the now. You have to find it in the moment. And so when I say that it's a double-edged sword, what drives you, destroys you, is a lot of times we're driven by desire. We're driven by the things we want to accomplish, right? We're driven by the goals that we set. But what destroys us is the fact that we can't appreciate and have gratitude for what we have now. Mm. Because, and this is the tightrope you learn to walk as an entrepreneur, is, you know, your purpose has to drive you. Your passion has to drive you, right? But I heard a great saying, and I wish I could give credit to, I think it was from Joseph Campbell, I could be completely wrong, but ultimately, if you're an archer, and you're shooting a bow and arrow, and you have your target, and you're in the woods, right? And you pull back on the bow and arrow, you line everything up perfect, you take the deep breath, you breathe in, you exhale, you release, perfect shot, right? 9 times out of 10, it's gonna hit bullseye. But once you let go, you have no control over that arrow. A gust of wind could come along and blow it off course, you know? A bear could jump out of the woods and get in the way. You never know what's gonna happen. All you can do as an entrepreneur is to make sure you take the perfect shot. Whether you hit the target or not is out of your control. Mm. And I think that's the hardest thing for entrepreneurs to grasp, is that it's okay to have goals, it's okay to have a vision, it's okay to strive towards that, but you can't let that make you unhappy because you don't have it today. Mm. And so the curse, most of the world lives in the past. They blame the past, the victims of the past. The curse of the entrepreneur is we're looking to the future and we ignore the now.
Mm. Why did you call me a pussy?
Well, that's a great question.
I was thinking, wait, you know, what's going on? And if our friend, there's a story behind this.
I don't think you were at the event, but Nancy, Mama Leo, I think is how you say her name. She was at one of Kevin's events once and the word pussy was thrown around a lot. And she said, you know what? I'm tired of this. She said, you know, the pussy is a pleasure palace that can take a pounding. It's far from weak. And she's right. But the reason I called you a pussy was because it was a word that would trigger you into action.
Right.
And that as a coach, as a mentor, as someone who is responsible for bringing out the greatness that you see in other people that they may not see in themselves, you have to find what it is that motivates them. Right. And a lot of people think there's one way. There's not. Everyone is motivated differently. And what I found with you is when I challenged you of whether you were a man or not, you would raise to the occasion. And that was all and that was all it was took. You saw it as, oh, you're going to tell me no,
fuck I'm, you, I'm gonna do prove it. You wrong.
And so, you know, some people need positive reinforcement, a tap on the back.
Well, that can shut a lot of people down.
Right.
But not with me.
Yeah, I used to have a training partner that if you didn't tell him good job, it looked like he was gonna cry. Like he would be crumbled. He wanted all positive praise. And so you gotta learn to talk to your clients. You gotta learn to talk to the people the way they need to be talked to. But for you, you responded to negative. You responded to challenge of your manhood. And so the minute I knew that, you know, I didn't throw it around willy-nilly so it wouldn't lose its power, but when there was moments where you were umming and ahhing and you know, teeter-tottering on doing something that would move you forward, it was kind of the spike that would make you move.
Yeah, and that's actually, you know, I talk about tough love. I have this quote which is, you know, I give tough love because, you know, it's what moved me, you know, and that's the way that I coach now, I think that, well, actually, before I talk about that, I always wondered, like, why that actually got me into action. And when I worked with Donnie Epstein, which is Tony's energy worker, Tony Robbins, you know, he talks about this thing, which is what's actually happening is creating this new energy within you. You know, it's like sparking a fire. So when you say certain words, it like sends this little eruption to move you into interaction, like you say, and it's incredibly powerful. But also that takes, like from your perspective, that takes courage and also non-fear that you're gonna upset someone.
Yeah.
Right. So you have to have a level of certainty and confidence that you're doing the right thing in that moment. And I think that a lot of people have that fear, you know, in a conversation, they're worried, you know, that it's going to be the wrong move.
Yeah. You know, a good human tells other humans when they're, you know, not doing the right thing. And
it's all about intent. That's the thing. It's all about intent. Yeah. Tough love is so important, because if you're staying in the same level of action, you know, it's because you've got the same level of energy.
Yeah. And I mean, the trust is in the fact that if the other person knows the truth, it's whether they'll admit the truth in the moment. So when you play tough love, when you play the card of tough love, if you're met with resistance, it's simply their inability to admit the truth to themselves. And usually if you give them space, they'll come back to you and apologize, because they know what you're saying is in their best interest. You know, and that's the trust they have in you, is that you are looking out for their best interest. And I learned this when I was training at Westside under Louis Simmons. You know, the guy is the greatest strength coach in the world. And he gets a lot of, there's a lot of people that love Louis, and then there's a lot of people that hate Louis. And I mean, when I say hate, I mean they hate Louis. But one thing I realized when I was there, and you know, it's obvious to anyone who's around him, is the only intent he has for anybody is to help them become the strongest human being they can possibly be. Mm. He doesn't say anything that is designed to hurt you, to take you backwards, to not help you reach your goals. He might sound like a crazy fool. He might be making you do things that seem absolutely ridiculous, but his only intent is to make you the strongest version of yourself you can be. And I've carried that with me as a coach, that my only intent is to bring out the greatness, to get the person to the goal that they want. Sometimes it's not going to happen in the speed that I know it can, because they're on their own journey. I have to accept that. But my intent is always to help them get to where they've said they want and beyond, because a lot of times you can see further than they can see, because their current reality only allows them to see that. You know, it's like if you've never seen anyone squat 1,000 pounds, you know, like in your mind, that's outrageous. But the minute you're around a dozen guys that do it, it becomes the norm.
Here's what I'm gonna say. You don't need to like what your coach or mentor says, but you need to respect them. Because I think that if you don't respect this person that's saying that, you're just not gonna take it on board.
Right.
Right, so you must have respected him, but sometimes you didn't like what he said.
Absolutely. Yeah, and I think that comes down to when you hire you've got to hire the people that inspire you, the people that you look to and respect what they've done, because otherwise you won't listen. You know, if you're just curious, you're just information seeking, you'll continue to do that. And so, you know, when a coach gets real with you, if you can't handle it, it just means you're not ready yet. And it's okay. Like, that's one thing that I've began to realize, is that not everybody is going to move at the pace that I want to push. And so as a coach, I have to learn how to adjust to that. It's not my journey. You know, it's not my journey. And I look, you know, a lot of my clients own health clubs and work in the fitness field, obviously, because that's my background. But, you know, we can all say you can lose 30 pounds in 30 days. If you follow this most extreme diet, you work out every single day, you do this, you do that, you know, you can see it on Biggest Loser. You know, they work out 4 hours a day, but they're medically supervised. You can do that, right? But most people aren't. Most people aren't going to do that. Some people, it might take a year to lose that 30 pounds, but that's their journey. And if they're dedicated to it, it's okay for them to take time. You know, that's the biggest lesson. If I had to go back and teach myself a lesson, it would be to slow down. That it's okay to take your time. Not everything, you know, people say, you know, everything loves speed, right? But sometimes it's okay to look at it a few different ways before you take action. There's moments that you do need to take imperfect action, that you do need to have blind faith, you do need to trust, but there's also moments where it's okay to pull back and really, really analyze what you're doing and make the right choice based on, you know, long-term sustainable results. Can I maintain this? You know, if I have to do this for the next, like me, if I'm going to coach and mentor people for the next 60 years, am I delivering it in a way that I can maintain my energy, my enthusiasm, my passion, my love for this? Or is it going to burn me out, right? And not just burn me out mentally, like, oh, I don't want to do this anymore, but physically, are my adrenals going to crash? Is the stress going to cause ulcers and breakdowns and all this stuff? And so you really have to pay attention to that and understand that when you're working with an individual, they're also on their own journey.
Mm-hmm. Well, I want to say with the deepest gratitude for, as a friend, as someone who's guided me, you know, thank you so much for everything you've done for me, and the tough love and the words that you spoke and the trips that we've been on, Thailand and Date with Destiny. And we've traveled, really, we've literally traveled to so many different places and had so much fun. And I'm so glad that you're back here in San Diego and you're coming to the, you know, the Spiritual Hustles, and we're able to share this journey. How can people reach out to you?
Yeah, easiest thing is just the website, ajroberts.com.
Well, there you go. Get your own domain. If you haven't listened to the episode of Get Your Own Domain, yourname.com, go and check out that episode. Thank you, AJ. And guys, check out the episode. If you're listening on iTunes, head and give a review. Hit the subscribe button. Head to simonlovell.com for more episodes, more mentorship, more truth. And let's go on this journey together. And just focus on something that you're grateful for today. And we'll see you in another episode. Take it easy. Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to that episode of The Simon Lovell Show. Now, if you enjoyed that episode, please head to iTunes, also SoundCloud, or any other platform and give a review. I read all of the comments. I would love your stories, your feedback. It is so important to me. Also, head to simonlovell.com for more information, more blog content, and connect with me on social media. I will see you in another episode of the show. Take it easy. Have a fantastic day.